Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. The Bible says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, Paul basically shows you the truth that justification is by faith, and that the fact that when Christ came, we could be justified by faith in the finished work of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, and get out from under the schoolmaster, which was the law. But the result of this revelation has led some preachers and some teachers into heresies, which have either resulted from chopping up part of the verses that you find here or misapplying verses that are here. So today, this message we're going to call Five Heresies. Five heresies. There are five things that show up in the verses that we're looking at here that are being taught today, and these things that are being taught today are false. They're not right. Now, first of all, what we want to do is we want to go through verses 23 to 29, and we want to go ahead and get what they're saying. We want to give a quick rundown of what you're looking at here. Okay, so let's look again then at verse 23. Galatians 3:23. "Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." Now, you know, and I know, that certainly in the Old Testament, men had faith. We know that because we look at Hebrews chapter 11, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And there we find that there were men of faith, and many of those men that were men of faith were under the law. So it's not that there was an absence of faith, but before the law, before this faith came that we have now, we were kept under the law. The faith that he's talking about here is the same faith that he's been dealing with throughout the book of Galatians, and that is the faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Now, Paul makes a comparison of this faith to the law in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's go over there for just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. "Speaking of the Jews, their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." All right, he's making a couple of comparisons here. There's a veil there that's in the temple. There's also that veil that was over Moses' face so that the people couldn't look upon his shining countenance after his second fast with the Lord up on the mountain. Verse 15, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord," that is their heart, "the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." What do we have here then? We have this situation that as long as a man is under the Old Testament and refuses to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he reads the New Testament with a veil upon his heart. He has no liberty. He's under the law, but he can't keep the law, and he can't be justified by the law. So he is basically shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed, which Paul talks about in verse 23 of our text. And we know this because when we go back and look at the life of the disciples, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Jesus Christ asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had it down. But when Jesus Christ spake of the death, burial, and resurrection, Peter rebuked him. Why? Because Peter didn't believe it, and Peter really didn't believe in it until he had actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Why? He had a veil upon his heart. Now, of course, I believe that he rose from the dead, and I've never seen it. And I believe that he was the Messiah, and I've never seen him. But I believe that by faith, and I can do that now because I am no longer shut up under this faith, which should afterwards be revealed because it's already been revealed. Okay, the second thing we see in verse 24 is this, that the law was our schoolmaster. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law basically should lead you to a belief in Jesus Christ simply by this, the fact that you realize you cannot measure up to the law. Now, we've talked about this repeatedly through the lessons this week, but let's just deal with it again. If you sincerely look at all of the provisions of the law in the Old Testament, there is not a single person, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, who was ever able to keep all of the law. And the reason is the law doesn't justify you. In Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now the strange thing is that so many people, so many of you are religious and lost. You have some variation of the Old Testament law for your religious creed. Some of you believe that you have to be baptized as a baby and have been baptized. You've had to go through catechism. You've had to go through communion. You've had to go through confession. You've had to go through church attendance. You've had to go through certain feast holy days and holy periods during the year. You intend to die in the state of grace. You intend to have last rites. And through all of these things, you intend to be presentable to the Lord God. And you say that you believe by faith in Jesus Christ. But if you really did, you would not keep all of those religious things, prayers to saints and statues and all those other things. Some of you believe that you've got to be baptized in water in order to be saved. Some of you believe that you've got to speak in tongues in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got all these religious dogmatic variations of the law that allow for your religion to become legalistic and exclusive. That is, if a man doesn't practice according to your religion, you may think God in his mercy will extend something to that fellow, but for the most part, you believe that if they're not practicing according to your religion, they're not saved. Jehovah's Witnesses certainly feel that way. Mormons feel that way. Many other denominations believe that way. And the point is all based upon this verse here. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Galatians 3:11 says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, for me, I am trusting absolutely, solely, 100%, not upon my radio broadcasting and preaching and trying to raise the family right and the things that I do and the golden rule and loving your brother and all that kind of stuff. Not dependent upon that for my salvation. My salvation is solely, absolutely, 100% dependent upon this and this alone, and that is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have put my faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if that's not enough to get me to heaven, I'm not going to go. But I believe that based upon what the Bible says and based upon this verse as well. Now, verse 25. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. All right, then we don't practice our faith according to the law. We practice it according to our love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of His Holy Spirit in us. We yield ourselves as members of His body to the leadership of His Spirit and thereby do the work that by faith that He has asked us to do and not according to the law as our schoolmaster. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now watch it, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that's not the only verse like that. That's just one. So what we do as Christians is we yield ourselves to God through the Holy Spirit, led by His Word, under the authority of His Word, and therefore we are not practicing the law, we are under grace. Back to our text, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, then this shows us clearly that to be a child of God, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So you become a child of God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by baptism, not by works, not by the law, not by religion, not by birth, but by the new birth. 1 John chapter 3, 1 John, the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what? Look at it. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews were servants. You don't become a child of God until you are born again by the Holy Spirit as a result of putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 shows us, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit baptized you spiritually into the body of Christ and made you one with Him. And when He did that, the physical body that resurrected from the Lord Jesus Christ, the physical body of Christ, is now seated in heaven at the right hand of God, and He put you into that body. So Ephesians chapter 2 talks about a spiritual resurrection that takes place at your spiritual birth. In verse 6 of Ephesians 2, and hath raised us up, past tense, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I was baptized into Christ, I was baptized into His death, I was baptized into His burial, I was baptized into His resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6, and therefore I am now seated, and so are you if you're saved, at the right hand of God in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been baptized into Christ. That is not a water baptism. There's no water here. That is a spiritual baptism by the Spirit of God that puts you into that body and makes you a member of that body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then verse 28 says, of Galatians chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All right, well, that's what Christ prayed in John chapter 17. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, before He went to His crucifixion, He prayed to the Father that the thing you just read about there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, would take place, and it has. John chapter 17, verse 21, the Lord is praying, and He said that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. So, you and I are one with Christ and one with each other. There's one body. And in that body, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's real unity, spiritual unity in Christ. Paul talks about this in several places, but in the book of Colossians, he speaks about this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It puts us together. Of course, you wouldn't believe that much with all the church splits that go on these days. But spiritually, those partitions are broken down. We are one in Christ. And then finally, Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, when you get saved, you are Christ's, therefore you are Abraham's seed, because he is the one to whom the promise was given, as we saw yesterday. And then you become heirs according to that promise, both of eternal life and the other things that were given to Abraham's seed. But in this context, eternal life. Heirs of eternal life. All right, look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and look at verses 15 to 17. Romans chapter 8, look at verses 15 to 17. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Well, what's Abba? That's not a Gentile. That's not a word that a Gentile would use. That's a word, a Hebrew word, a Hebrew transliteration. It means Father. In other words, we are adopted into a covenant relationship with the Lord that was granted to Abraham by promise in Genesis chapter 17, and we become heirs of eternal life. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So what you've just heard then from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29 is an exposition or a verse-by-verse commentary on these verses and what they are saying. The law was a schoolmaster. It brought us to Christ. We put our faith in Christ. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. When we put our faith in Christ, we become children of God. We're baptized into his body. We are one then, and that wall of partition between bond and free, and Jew and Greek is broken down, and we become heirs of the promise given to Abraham. We then are heirs of eternal life. That's simply what you read there. But now, in this text, there are five heresies that come from five of the verses. And the first heresy that shows up comes from verse 25, and notice what he says again from a different, now look at it in a different light. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What was the schoolmaster? Well, it was the law. So the first heresy that is taught because of verse 25 is antinomianism. Oh, that's a big word. Galatians 3:25, antinomianism. Whoa. You'd have to be a scholar to cook up the word. Basically, it means no law or lawless. That is, when we get saved, we have no law that holds us whatsoever. We have absolute liberty in Christ. Therefore, we can do anything we want to do, do as we please. It doesn't make any difference who's affected by it. But that doctrine, antinomianism, is not true. And the way you know it's not true is found in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And in verses 1 to 4, you're subject unto the higher powers. Every soul, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And these things lay down a law for you. And then now notice what Paul does in verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. You know what Peter said about that honor right there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17? He said, honor the king. You know who the king was? Nero. You know who killed Peter? Nero. So you are not, it's not anarchy when you get saved. You're not lawless. Keep reading. Owe no man anything. If you're in debt, you have an obligation to pay the debt. If you earn money, you have an obligation to pay the tax. If you buy goods, you have an obligation to pay the tax. If you cross the border, you have an obligation to pay the custom. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 9, what's the law? Don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Doesn't mean you're absent the law. It just means that you're no longer under the law for righteousness' sake, but you are for conduct's sake. So antinomianism is a heresy, and if you believe that, you're believing a lie, and you can't use verse 25 to prove that. All right, the second heresy is found in verse 26. Verse 26 says of Galatians chapter 3, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Notice that they just what this next doctrine does is it just cuts off part of the verse. Ye are all the children of God. That doctrine is called the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That is, that we are all children of God. That's not true. You're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you believe that you were born a child of God and therefore by religious practice can get to heaven, you are wrong and have been misled. You can't do that. The only way in the world that you are ever going to see God in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ and be a child of God is to put all of your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary for your salvation, and therein lies your salvation. Then you, God is your Father. Only by faith in Christ Jesus, not by natural birth. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the Pharisees. They're natural-born citizens. They were Jews. They kept the law. They even went beyond the law. You know what he said? You are of your father, the devil. Well, that's some kind of a compliment to pay to a law-abiding Jew. You're of your father, the devil. Why? Because they would not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, along comes Saul. That's Paul later on who gets saved. He starts preaching. He goes along to with Barnabas and to Salamis. And they meet. Then they go to Paphos, and they meet a fellow, a sorcerer named Bar-Jesus. And then there's a fellow named Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and look what he says to Bar-Jesus. O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. So the idea that everybody that's born a natural person is a child of God is a lie. That's a heresy. It has no fact in Scripture whatsoever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So three places you've seen people called the child of the devil. Why? Because the doctrine of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is a false doctrine. And yet it is upheld in most Christian professing denominations and in many churches today. It's a heresy. This verse doesn't show that. All right, the next heresy is found in verse 27. Verse 27 of Galatians chapter 3 says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This false teaching is called baptismal regeneration. That is, that you can be saved by being baptized in water. Many, many religions believe that and teach that. And in places where they say you still have to have faith in Christ to do that, be the Church of Christ as an example, they believe that you're saved by water because of something that happened to Noah back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism is a figure of what the Holy Spirit has done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, For by one Spirit, not by one preacher, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 6 show you the effect of that spiritual baptism. I defy you to look through the book of Romans, starting with Romans chapter 1, verse 1, go all the way to Romans chapter 16, the last verse, and find water in the book. There isn't any, but that shows you that the baptism in Romans chapter 6 is not a water baptism. As a matter of fact, if you'll study your Bible carefully, you'll find that there are seven baptisms, and only four of those involve water, and one of them involves death, one of them involves fire, and one of them involves the Spirit of God, and not water at all. And one of those water baptisms is not a dunking, it's an aspersion. Only three of them are a dunking in water. One is John's baptism to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. One of them is Peter's baptism to the Jews for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And the other one is believer's baptism, which is granted to a believer like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, because he has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him with his mouth. So somebody to come along and tell you you've got to be baptized in water in order to be saved, that's a heresy. You'll put your faith in the water baptism and not in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will develop a religion of works, and you can't be justified by works. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, not into a baptismal pool, not into a church, but into Jesus Christ. Well, where is Jesus Christ? His body is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. That's where he is right now. waiting till his enemies become his footstool. And when you get baptized by the Spirit, you're baptized into his death, according to verse 3. You're baptized into his burial, according to verse 4. You're baptized into his resurrection, according to verse 4. Then you have the likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection in verse 5. And therefore your old man is crucified with him in verse 6. Water baptism cannot do that for you. That is a heresy. If you'll read Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, you'll see that Cornelius was saved before he was ever baptized in water. Just a heresy. The next heresy is found in verse 28 of Galatians chapter 3. That is the one world and gender neutral. All nations, all genders together. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. That's the verse that's used to prove that homosexuals can pastor churches and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. That is a heresy. That is a heresy. And the reason is that if you read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, you'll find out that Paul told Timothy to teach that men who were bond servants were to remain as bond servants under the yoke, and they are to count their masters worthy of all honor. And that if any man were to teach otherwise, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was proud, knowing nothing, and so forth and so on. You can read it for yourself. Let me just read Romans chapter 16. Paul sends a salutation, and what do you have? He's speaking about men and women throughout that deal. So the idea that it's a gender neutral like these modern Bibles or homosexuals in the pulpit because of verse 28 is just nuts, man. That's a heresy. And the last heresy is verse 29. It's post-millennialism. That is that God is through with the Jews because you become Abraham's seed. That's not true. If you read Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and Hebrews chapter 8, you're going to find that God will make a covenant with the nation of Israel and fulfill Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 with the reconstruction of the temple and the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, with the Jews being the ruling nation of the world. Now, all these heresies come from messing with the Scripture, not believing every word that God had written there. And that's what we're encouraging you to do, is believe it all, read it all, study it all, and follow it all.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.